Dave, let's start with you and your long career in forest research. What is it that you focused on over these years?
Well, I've had a broad range of activities. Started out doing growth and yield, and I very quickly found fire group when I actually worked in Ontario, and I worked there for a couple of years in Sault Ste. Marie at the fire center, and then believe it or not, I switched over into architecture for a little while. And from the ideas I learned from architecture, I learned about an emerging new science related to forest management called landscape ecology. And I wound up leaving architecture and moving into landscape ecology, where I got my PhD at University of British Columbia.
And you're also an adjunct professor there at UBC.
I am. In the same department that I got my PhD in, I've been an adjunct for probably 10 or 15 years with grad students and postdocs, and I collaborate with several different professors in the department.
Well, that's interesting what you say about switching from architecture and then using some of those principles in forest management, because I know from my background working with the Alpac Forest Management Task Force that looking at structure in the forest is very important. Is that how you've kind of incorporated those things?
Because of my background in forestry, the philosophical reading that we were required to do for the first year of architecture, I found really paralleled a lot of the ideas that people have been talking about in forest land management in general. And they were really about, you know, sustainability of communities as it related to architecture and what that means and how you get there. And it really resonated with me from an ecological perspective. And as it turns out, as I said, there was this new, you know, offshoot of ecology called landscape ecology, which was essentially the ecology of landscapes as wholes and treating them as values unto themselves as something to be sustained. So the parallels were unexpected, but were remarkable for me.
Now, you're currently involved in the Healthy Landscapes Program, which the FRA Research, or the Forest Research Institute, as it was called, is promoting. What is the Healthy Landscapes Program?
Well, the principle that I've been talking about is manifested as is called ecosystem-based management, or EBM, and it emphasizes managing wholes as opposed to pieces, and it's a fairly fundamental shift in thinking for everyone involved. And the work that I do in studying forest fires, for example, is a part of that. And the Healthy Landscapes Program started out about 20 years ago with three partners who were interested in looking at the potential of EBM to become perhaps a new management paradigm. And now our partnership spans five different provinces and territories, and we've got about 25 different partners. So there's a lot of interest out there from forest management companies, from governments, from non-government groups to explore this potential. And so the Healthy Landscapes Program is the scientific manifestation of that desire from these partners.
So you mentioned ecosystem management. Could you explain that?
Sure. Ecosystem-based management, the modern manifestation of that was presented about 20 years ago in the literature. And I say modern because the idea has been around for a long time. Medieval European cities used the idea of sort of holistic sustainability to make sure they had enough resources. Although Leopold referred to cogs and wheels in a Sand County almanac, these are all ideas around the concept of managing ecosystems as wholes. So the big change is right now how we manage complex ecosystems like landscapes is we break them apart into pieces and we hand the management and the responsibility and the profit motive for each of them off to different agencies. So timber harvesting goes over here, and fracking goes over here, water goes over here, wildlife management goes over here, fire management goes off to a different spot. The idea of managing for ecosystems, ecosystem health, ecosystem integrity, is that if the sustainability of the ecosystem is maintained, the health of the ecosystem, then we're going to get all of those services. And it's a fairly fundamental shift in thinking
So really, you alluded to the idea that humans have a footprint on the forest, and this is why we have to be concerned about maintaining ecosystems, in that there is development. So there's timber harvesting and oil and gas, even urban areas moving into forested areas. So what kind of a footprint are we making, and why do we need to think about ecosystems as a whole?
Well, we're managing ecosystems whether we want to or not. We have our finger involved, as you say, already in terms of forest management, in terms of land conversion into agriculture. Peace would be a good example of that. But we've also been managing forests from the perspective of forest fire control for decades. And so we've already had a fairly substantial impact. Now, we have come to rely on a series of goods and services out of the forest, and we are doing our best to sustain those, and it's in our best interest, not just socially, but economically, to do so. The past has demonstrated to us that efforts to manage these values one at a time isn't actually creating a sustainable ecosystem. So the EBM idea is to step back and say, rather than trying to maximize the output of each of these individual values, we should step back and take a look at what the ecosystem has historically created in terms of goods and services, use that understanding to manage them, and use some of those historical benchmarks to give us an idea of, you know, what we can expect out of the forest.
Let's look at some of the principles then behind what makes a healthy landscape or what makes good ecosystem-based management. What are the different things that you would have to look at?
The interesting thing about EBM is that it may not result in a forest that looks or feels any different. In some cases, it's just how you get there, who you involve in the decision-making process. What knowledge and information goes into it, what systems, what frameworks, what regulatory frameworks and practices that you're using. And those are going to be different for sure, but the manifestation of what you see might not be any different. Now, having said that, I would say that there are some general principles in the boreal forest where we understand that there are going to be some substantial changes. Where the rubber hits the road is the idea that if Mother Nature has, you know, managed these landscapes, you know, for thousands of years without our help, then there's a lot to be learned from how that ecosystem functions. So, for example, the relationship between, and this is a timely topic, the relationship between climate, between disturbance, in this case, we're talking mostly about fire, although obviously insect and disease like mountain pine beetle come into play, and how that creates landscape conditions such as the amount of old forest, and that in turn gives us our goods and services. So those sort of relationships between climate disturbance, landscape conditions, and values are our goods and services. I call that sort of the roadmap to sustainability. If we understand those four boxes and how everything works in there, we can manage anything. But as I said, where our management and where a lot of our research has taken place is from the bottom. We're focusing on the values and not on the relationship between them. So to get back to your question, what that means in the boreal forest is that we're really looking at forest fire behavior. Most of the forests there are driven by fires. They rely on fires for the sustainability. The removal of disturbance is not an option in terms of sustainability. The forests, I'm not going to say they won't survive, but they'll survive in a very different form. And the goods and services that they provide will probably drop off considerably. So what a lot of the agencies in Canada have turned to is looking at some sort of a guideline whereby forest harvesting, the pattern of forest harvesting, the size, the shape, the severity, the frequency of forest harvesting is closer to that which Mother Nature would have provided by a fire regime. So the direction that we're heading in is we would get and end up with a range of sizes of forest harvesting openings, some of them very large, some of them very small. Severity would range from maybe 10 or 20% mortality all the way up to 80 or 90% mortality. And we would ensure that the frequency is the same as, you know, the fire cycle.
So basically, the industrial activity would mimic a fire regime. Is that correct?
Yes. The pinch points often end up being the wording around this. And I've found in the past that the word mimic is one of those trigger points. I would say the idea of EBM is to use our understanding of how Mother Nature managed the landscapes to help us manage it. So in some cases, for example, we know that we have forest fires this year, or even just in the central BC, we've got forest fires that are hundreds of thousands of hectares. Well, socially, we know that's not something that is going to be acceptable. Economically, it's probably not possible. So we can come closer to how Mother Nature would have managed the landscapes. But I think in many cases, mimicking wouldn't be possible. A lot of people throw the word emulate around, which implies coming close.
Is there anybody who's using this approach?
This concept has been turned into regulations, actually, right in the Forestry Act in Ontario and in Quebec. And they have worked very hard on their respective emulation guidelines. And I would say most other jurisdictions are looking at it as a possibility. This part of EBM, I would say, is a part of the requirements for any of the companies that are involved in the Canadian Boreal Forest Agreement, the CBFA.
So you say that this has a 20-year history in terms of changing mindset or paradigm. And I know that for many years, the NCE, the National Centers of Excellence, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, involved scientists and had partnerships with companies, both oil companies and forest companies, to really try and develop more clearly what the science and impacts of ecosystem-based management would be. What has happened there? Have we really changed the paradigm?
Well, that program focused a lot on the impacts of changing the paradigm. So one of the challenges of the approach that I'm talking about is that you're stepping back from the details and sort of looking at the bigger picture. And it's a bit of a leap of faith if you're going to use Mother Nature as a guide for, how you're going to manage forests in the future. If we create more natural forests, or if we sustain them in the way that they were historically, or use this information to help guide the forest, will that in fact maintain the biodiversity that we have seen historically? Will it sustain the services that we've come to rely on? And we don't know the answer to a lot of those questions. So the network actually focused a lot of their effort on answering some of those questions. And that work is ongoing. And I think it's really important work to continue because of this, this unanswered question.
Well, you mentioned that Quebec and Ontario have worked really hard to include this into their practices and legislation. What's happening in Alberta and British Columbia? Is there a resistance?
Well, I should back up a bit here and say that what I've been talking about in terms of the emulation of Mother Nature, I would say that that's one of the cornerstones of EBM, but it's not the only one. I think it's the most obvious. It was the low-hanging fruit, but there are many more elements to an ecosystem-based approach that are implied. One of the big ones would be that instead of managing pieces and managing holes, the parallel to that in terms of management is instead of managing and having 10 or 20 management plans for a piece of land, you have one, which means you have to collaborate. That is a mountain that hasn't been climbed by anybody. As attractive as that idea is, and everyone agrees in principle with that, I don't know of any really good examples of where that's taking place on a wholesale basis. The other part of EBM is that ecosystems include humans. And so the decision-making process, the way we go about managing the decisions that we make, the choices we make, should be inclusive and not just standard information sessions, this is what we're doing in the forest, but actually including people in the process. And I would say this is probably something we're not as good at as we should be either. Back to your original question, just in terms of the original interpretation from forest management that we're going to look at some emulation pieces. Both Ontario and Quebec have had some great experiences with this, and not all of it has been very positive. They've had everything from, you know, complete acceptance, this is a great idea, you know, we're completely on board with it, to mild distrust, all the way to very strong pushback. And I think those lessons have sort of resonated in the rest of Canada, and I would say everyone else is proceeding a little more carefully. And I would say also that, you know, that range of perspectives on the idea of ecosystem-based management, I've experienced it myself, the whole range, and I would say it's fairly universal. It may be a great idea on paper, but how it has manifested itself in terms of, you know, feedback from people has been unexpectedly varied.
You have a series of workshops coming up. What's the point of these workshops?
Well, the Healthy Landscapes team that I work with, the 25 partners that I mentioned earlier, it became clear starting about 3 or 4 years ago that the science wasn't enough. We were doing some really good science with that, you know, roadmap to sustainability I talked about earlier, the relationships between disturbance and climate and goods and services. We were starting to really understand some major pieces of that. And my assumption as a classically trained scientist is, well, we've got the information, it must be clear to everybody, you know, how to proceed and how we should use this information. And nothing could be further from the truth. What we found is some, you know, as I said, some very uneven acceptance of this idea, everything from complete acceptance and high-level support all the way to, you know, there's no way we're going to allow you to do that. And a lot of mistrust, a lot of misinformation. And we realized we could keep doing this research forever, and we may not be making much more of a dent. So what we really have to do, if we're going to make any further progress in understanding the potential of EBM, is we have to go back and understand where the pinch points are with respect to the support for this idea. And so the idea behind the dialogue is that we give them a venue to talk. And what we do is we listen. We try to understand, you know, where there are a diverging of perspectives and where the common ground is. You know, what I like about the dialogue sessions is that at some point we're going to agree. There's going to be common ground, even if it's a general statement like we need to keep our forests healthy. And maybe the divergence happens at the concept level of EBM. Maybe it happens when something happens right on the ground. And maybe the difference is in just the trust level of the organizations who are talking about doing EBM and making some fairly substantial changes in some cases is just not there. We really don't know where the points of divergence are, our pinch points. And so the dialogue sessions are designed to try to understand better, you know, where people are agreeing with this idea and where they're not.
And who do you want to come to these workshops?
Well, it's interesting because we found that this range of opinions, believe it or not, it occurs in the general public, it occurs across different agencies, it can even occur, and it does occur, within agencies. So, for example, within individual government agencies, we find a huge range of support from one office to the next. So we really want to target people who are involved in natural resource management in any way. Policymakers, senior managers, people who have to implement it on the ground, stakeholders who are involved in public consultation groups for companies or for the government, municipalities. I would say that, you know, at this point, we wouldn't say no to anybody to attend these sessions, but we're really trying to target the people who are actively involved in either policy or practices in forest land management today.
And when you gather up all the information from these workshops, what will happen with it?
Well, the group of us, the group four of us who are doing this, are sort of an arm's length group. We are a part of the FRI research team. We're funded independently. And so the results of this will be a series of recommendations ultimately But more than that, it will be a sort of a summary of what we found. Where are the major pinch points and where are the differences? We have a social scientist on the team, which is new for me. I'm learning as much as anybody. We have a facilitator, and I'm the EBM expert, and I actually talk the least. I do more of the listening. So the output will hopefully provide a bit of a guide for our partners on the Healthy Landscapes team and for others to get a handle on where the issues and the problems are. The other possibility is that these dialogue sessions or a part of them may actually form the basis of a new way of talking to and talking with stakeholders and the public. As I said earlier, EBM has an important element, one leg of it, is that there is a social side, and it does involve communities and people. And I would say that's probably an area we could use some new tools. And some of the tools that we're using during the dialogue sessions are certainly new to me, and I think they would be new to a lot of our partners. So we're creating a final report, you know, the one final report that will make some recommendations, but we're also sort of road testing some new communication tools.
And are there any other resources?
Yes, we have created a standalone website that talks about one interpretation of ecosystem-based management, or EBM, and it's called a Lessons from Nature website. So it's www.lessonsfromnature.ca, and that goes through some of the principles of EBM, or a version of it, for people who want to learn more.
Now, you've already had one workshop in Athabasca, and you have three more coming up. Where are they going to be?
The next one will be Grand Prairie, and that is September the 12th, and then October 25th in Calgary, and December 12th in Edmonton.
And how do people register?
The FRI Research website, which is www.friresearch.ca, if you go to the Healthy Landscapes program, you'll see a tag there for the dialogue sessions, and there is a place to click to register.
Thank you very much, David.
Well, thank you, Cheryl.